So I want to talk this morning about prayer. One of the most difficult things in the whole world. My mentor, who I took over a church from in Durban, he said to me the first time he prayed, he went into ministry and thought, I have to pray. And so he had a beanbag and he got on his knees and he put his head into the beanbag and he said, Our Father who art in heaven, and he woke up 2 hours later. It's just, prayer is hard. It's just hard. Hard to pray. What to pray? How do we pray? How do you stand in a prayer meeting and pray? And so we've been doing a thing called Far Above, a series where it's our position. We're going to look at a few weeks at prayer, how we access that position, and then we're going to look at Romans 8, what the promised land looks like. Amen. Sit down, Joshua. Flip. What are you doing, bro? My son-in-law now. We've got to like do something. We've got to go to, like, you can't walk around during services. You know what I'm saying? Let's put the scripture up on the board. Let's put the scripture up. Yeah, thank you very much. That's the wrong scripture. The guy who went to Durban is in charge of the scripture. Thank you. Say, we're going to keep the scripture up. Don't look at me. Say, and when you pray.
And when you pray.
Say, and when you pray.
And when you pray.
Not and if you pray. And when you pray. Say, and when you pray. If you said to me, how would you describe prayer? I would describe it simply like this. It's like swallowing lightning. I've been serving God for 30 years. Prayer is like swallowing lightning. Much of my Christian life, I never knew how to pray. And I realized if I did it all again, I would have 4 times less meetings and I would pray 6 times more. The key, the secret of the Christian life is prayer. It's hard, it's disciplined, it's delightful, it's powerful, it's electric. You know what the scripture says in Romans? Just keep the scripture up, please, the whole time. Thank you. It says this in Revelation 6, when they start to unlock the seals of history, there's holy, 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 and for 30 minutes, everything comes to a standstill. For 30 minutes, the whole of creation comes to a standstill, and it says, and then the angel took the censer of incense and the prayers. Say the prayers. Of the saints. He took the prayers of the saints and he presented them to God. And when he presented them to God, the Bible says lightning and thunder and earthquakes hit the earth. All hell broke loose and all heaven got released. Beautiful. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to be long-winded. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be a pastor, but you do have to pray. And when you learn how to pray, I promise you this, you will quadruple your life. If you pray 20 minutes a day for the next 3 months, you will completely and utterly change everything about your life. Everything. I prophesy that. One of my friends is a CFO of a massive organization in South Africa, got 125,000 employees. He says the day that he got born again, his brain quadrupled. And as he said that, I thought, if I can access prayer, then I can quadruple my life. I can quadruple my life. You say to me, Rory, but Rory, it's hard. And and we have this incredible challenge between the sovereignty of God, the will of God will be done, and the prayer of the saints. And that mystery will never be settled. Because God's will take place, but God does use the prayers of his saints. And this thing I know, no breath of prayer is ever, ever, ever spent in vain. No breath of prayer is ever spent in vain. And so, guys, if you understand that God is a father, you can know that when your prayers are unanswered, God is not bad. He's just a father. And as a father myself, there are many requests that my children have made to me that I've not given them because I'm older than them and I know more than them. They don't think that when they're 14. But when I don't give them something, it's because I believe there's something better for them. So when God doesn't answer prayer, don't say, well, Rory said I will quadruple my life. When God doesn't answer prayer, it's because he's your father. Yeah. And one of the great gifts of God is unanswered prayer. One of the great gifts of God is unanswered prayer. And so let's keep reading. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. Oh, we know those guys. On the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Keep the scripture on. That's hectic. Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. It's like, hello? Dad? Father? God? Jesus? How does that work? Well, just get in a car and drive to Durban. If you're in love, you will stay in the room until he starts talking back to you. You start to build a relationship, and it's based on time, and it's based on sacrifice, and it's based on discipline, and it's based on prayer, and it's based on love. And you just sit there and you say, Father? Father? It's not clever words. You don't have to be qualified. It's not the length of the prayer. It's just the understanding of the relationship. He's a dad. You're a son or a daughter. When you pray, just pray this. Father. Say Father. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Keep it up there. The disciples in the whole of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John only asked Jesus for one thing, and that's to teach them how to pray. He never says, teach me how to be a businessman. He never says, teach me how to be a husband. He never says, teach me how to be a good follower. He never says, teach me how to... He just said, teach us how to pray. Because they saw Jesus living this unbelievably successful life, but they realized that he was plugged into something different. He was plugged into another source. And actually, we can go through the whole of life never knowing what it means to pray. Friends, just give God 20 minutes of your day. 20 minutes, that's all. You think, what am I going to do? The first few weeks, you'll probably fall asleep in the cushion. And then you pray, and then you don't. You pray, and the next minute, you're thinking about rugby. Then you're trying to pull it back here, and then you're trying to pull it back there. Just let Jesus teach you how to pray. Let him teach you how to pray before you go to meetings, before you get in the car, before you travel, before you leave home. This isn't how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, say that. Let's say it properly. So it's not my Father, eh? It's our Father. Our Father in heaven. So we kind of got to learn how to pray together. Are you in a room by yourself, or are you praying to your God together? Well, yes, both. I learned by myself in a room, and I learned how to pray Our Father together. I said this because one of the challenges now with the church is growing is that there are a whole lot of people that are coming here with a whole lot of needs. Some of them are 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old needs and saying, can you help me? And I'm saying, no, but I can teach you how to pray. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a psychologist. I can't make your pain go away instantly. It's 13 or 14 years to get there, but I can teach you how to pray. How do we pray? Our Father who art in heaven. How do we outwork our Father who art in heaven? Well, we meet on Sundays. We also have home groups. We take days leave, and we sit in a chapel to see just my 35-year dream come true. And then I might as well just have looked at Matt, and Matt looked at me, and we could have looked at each other and just said, Our Father who art in heaven. Amen? Hallowed be your name. Say, hallowed be your name. Where you buy your cars, Pete? Stefan Greiling. How many cars have you bought from Stefan Greiling? About 10. Why do you buy cars from Stefan Greiling? Because you trust him. Because he's got a good... Got a good name. Amen. You might not have trusted your dad. but you can trust my dad. He's got a good name. Got a good name. Has every car been good, Pete? Has every car been good? Has he kept his promise? Has he kept his word? Would you recommend him? Would you send people to him? Have you? How many?
Millions.
Where's John Postmas? On holiday. In a car that he bought from Stefan Kreiling, because Pete told John about Stefan, because Stefan's got a good name. So John bought a car from Stefan. Now he's on holiday. And if there's a trouble, then Stefan will go and pick him up and replace the car, because that's how Stefan works, because he's got a good name. Amen. Our Father in heaven.
In heaven.
I tell you, friends, most pastors of big churches do this. When the service is over, they run out there. There's what they call the green room. The green room has got a door to the outer room. And in the green room, you eat grapes. So it happens in the green room of a church. You sit and eat grapes, and you talk about the service. Oh, grapes. Something to drink, and then you close the door, and there's an air conditioner in there, and there's a toilet, and then when you're tired, you just go out the outside door, and you just disappear. That's what most people do, because it's overwhelming to be faced with the problems of everybody. I've never done that. God told me I must be a shepherd. I'm not an apostle. I'm a pastor. And so I stand here, and people line up, and week after week after week, I hear the most broken stories. But I'm not the answer. I cannot be the answer. And people email me and they get disappointed because they can't see me. They say, can I see you, Roy? But in our mindset, we think we must go to the top guy.
Sure.
That's the top guy. Does it say, Rory, you don't care? No, I care so deeply. I care so deeply that my heart is broken. But it is better for me to teach you how to pray than to let you line up here and I say, I can help you, I can help you. I can't. I can't help you. But God can. Because you are on earth. And when you look at your problems, they look so massive. And when you come and share your problems with me, they are so massive. And they are weighty. And they are heavy. And they are historical. And they seem absolutely impossible. But say this, He art in heaven. And it doesn't matter how big your problem on earth is, He art in heaven. And if you read Matthew 5 earlier on, it says this, don't swear by heaven, which is the throne of God, or by earth, which is His footstool. So art in heaven is not just far above your problem, it's also close enough to have access to the foot of God. It says earth is His footstool. So all those problems you've got to know, God can just scoop them out of, you can just doof. Doof, doof. I can't do that. And so instead of sitting with the disappointment of a pastor that can't meet your needs, can I rather not teach you how to pray? 20 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, and you will understand that lightning gets released in the same way that the angel took the censer of God and the prayers of the saints before the throne of heaven. You can literally change your circumstance. This is a phrase. This is not read in a book. I was sitting at a coffee shop this week, and I just felt this phrase come to me. I can't alter my history, but I can alter it. I can't alter my history, but I can alter it. I can bring it before the throne of God. And we are so quick to bring our history to people and say, well, can you do something with this history? I can't do anything. But I can bring it before God. I can bring it before God. You know, Jordan Peterson, who's one of the great bloggers in Canada, he's a highly successful writer, he's a clinical psychologist. He's recently given his life to the Lord. He says this, he said, every human being has a hole in their life. Everyone has this massive hole in which they either fell in, jumped in, or were pushed in. And he said, unless we deal with that hole, we'll drag it with us for the rest of our lives. And so we have to fill that hole in so that we can walk free. How do we fill the hole in? Our Father, who? Say it with me. Lift your eyes up high. Lift them above your problem. You see, far above is our position theologically. Prayer helps us to give access and to live there. Far up. Say far above. Far above every mountain, far above every peak, far above every valley, far above every power, far above every principality, far above every dominion, far above every authority, far above every disappointment, far above. And we are bypassing the discipline of prayer because the psychology world has infiltrated the church and think a one-on-one meeting with a pastor is going to sort out my problems. You have got access. You have got access to God. How do you do it? You go into a room, you close the door, you look around, you act like you don't really know what's happening because you don't, and you just say, Father, Father. And you sit there for 2 days and you feel stupid. And you think, if there's a camera on me right now, my mates will think I'm going mad. But I am now starting to participate in the future shaping history of my nation.
Beautiful.
Husband, go into that room. Do you know that wife that you're battling with now? The one who's giving you a hard time. Go into that room and say, Our Father, who art in heaven. Who art in heaven. All you have to do is, Our Father who art in heaven. And you just sit there and say, Melanie. Our Father who art in heaven, Melanie. Our Father, I've got a beautiful marriage. Please don't laugh. Just listen. Our Father who art in heaven, Melanie. Our Father who art in heaven, Melanie. And then he'll say, Son, you mean my daughter? You mean my daughter, son? Because from your perspective, it's your wife. But from my perspective, my daughter. Are you talking about my daughter, son?
Sure.
Yes, Father, I'm talking about your daughter. What about my daughter, son? Father, who art in heaven. And I say, son, you're looking at her from the wrong angle. Son, you're looking at her from such an earthly perspective. Son, you're looking at her from history and you're looking at her from current behavioral patterns, and you're looking at her from, she's 53 now, and she's going through menopause, and son, you're looking at her from a biological position. Father, how should I look at her? Well, will you look at her as my daughter? Our Father who art in heaven? And then I start to look at her as his daughter, and I think, wow, wow, I must be careful how I speak. I must create an environment in my room that as she goes through menopause and her body temperatures change, that I'm humble and gracious and I can get tea and coffee, because the process of biology doesn't change, but the way that I husband her does, and the way that I do that is by getting access to her Father who also arts in heaven, which will give me some insight into her struggles on earth. Amen? Amen. Say, Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Pete buys cars from Stefan because he trusts his name. Pete tells John, John buys cars from Stefan because Pete trusts his name. I trust God. I have seen the Father God come through over and over and over again. I've served God for 35 years. We are standing in a building where God answered our prayers through a COVID chaotic crisis. You know this, I bought a hat from a salesman the day before lockdown. I walked into his shop and I said to him, how are you doing? And he started to cry. He said, sir, I had not sold a hat for many days. It's a foreign national, French man who had walked down from the Congo. He said, I've not sold a hat. I said, I will buy a hat and I will wear this hat every single day until your business is back. And people say, take your hat off while you preach. Don't wear a hat. You don't look cool. It's not really lacquer. So you don't know why I'm wearing a hat. Don't know why I'm wearing a hat. And the second reason I wore the hat is because 80 or 90% of the heat escapes through your head. And I said at this time, I don't want people's feet to get cold. So I'm going to put a hat on my head to make sure that you don't get cold feet. On Friday, I walked out of Brooklyn Mall. A man walked up to me and said, a very strange question to ask. I said, what is it? He said, if I asked you for your hat, would you give it to me? I took it off. I said, yes, that season is over. This is not the time for cold feet. This is a time to trust God and get on with these projects. I won't put another hat on my head. The season is over. The season is gone. I'm not going to have cold feet. I'm going to trust God and His name. I'm going to trust everything He says in the Bible. And we're going to lay hold of the purposes of God. And we're going to extend His kingdom. And we're going to extend His will. And we're going to change the world. 35-year dreams do come true. People with athlete's foot can be used. Women who are going through menopause can find husbands who are gracious enough to love them through their stuff, because they don't see them just as their wife or a woman, but see them as a daughter of God. And that person that you're battling with, get into the room, close the door, and say this, Our Father, say it, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, friends, when the church grew, are you with me? Are we okay? When the church grew in Acts chapter 6, it says that the Grecian Jews complained against the Hebraic Jews because people were being overlooked. Now, some people, it's hard when you walk in, because I stand at the front door. Much easier to come from the green room into the pulpit, back to the green room, eat some grapes and get into my waiting car and leave. It's easy to do that. But I stand at the front door, and because I stand at the front door, some people come, some people don't, and say, I've been there 6 weeks and Rory hasn't seen me. I can't see you. It's impossible. It says then people started complaining because people were being overlooked. When a church grows, you're going to be overlooked. You will be overlooked. It's part of God's gift to you. Because it's not about you, it's about Him. You're not coming here for you. Say, Your kingdom come. Say, Your will be done. Say, Your name be honored. Say, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us. You see, your comes before us in the prayer. And one of the biggest problems with Christianity is we flip that around. Our Father who art in heaven, give us our stuff. Us, me, I. Now, what the Lord's Prayer does is it flips it upside down. As one of the very famous men in Pretoria who went to jail said this, he said, when I went into jail, Jesus was my spare wheel. When I came out of jail, Jesus was my steering wheel. He had an encounter with God. And that's what the Lord's Prayer does. It redirects what I'm here for. And so you will be overlooked. And you know what the Bible says? It says, choose a few men to wait on tables, to look after the growing church, so that the elders can give themselves to the studying of the word and to? Say it. By you keeping me busy in 20 hours of counseling every week, what we feed people with will become weaker and weaker and weaker, and your life will break. I can do more in an hour of prayer for you than I can in an hour of counseling. And I do pray. And what do I pray? I hallow your name, Father. Hallow your name. And in my picture, I've got a picture of the whole Bible in my head. And in Genesis, there was darkness, there was chaos, there was no life. There was nothing. There was nothingness. And sometimes people come and they stand up here and I just look into their eyes. It is like looking into an abyss. It's like looking into darkness. It's like looking into chaos. It's like looking into nothingness. They're just looking and they're thinking, can you help me? I can pray for you. I can say, Lord, will you hallow your name? Lord, you are the creator of Genesis. Lord God, can you speak into this abyss? Can you speak into this darkness? Can you speak into the nothingness of their lives? Lord God, can you please honor your name, Lord God? Can you? You are the creator. In Exodus, you are the deliverer. You are the God who takes people out of bondage into freedom. Yesterday, I got an SMS from a lady in this church. She was a lawyer, and through a set of events, she ended up in prison. I was in her court case when the judge sentenced her. I was sitting there with Adrian Quinlivan, and the hammer came down and said, "You're going to jail for 8 years." And I heard her shriek. And my heart just broke. I've prayed for that woman every single day of my life since that day. I have prayed for her. And yesterday she said to me, just had a major operation. Said, "Today is the 3rd year since I got released from prison." I don't know how many years it takes sometimes. But if we cry out to the deliverer, we cry out to the creator, we cry out to the shepherd, he will honor his name. His name will always be hallowed. I had a dream 35 years later. How old are you, Matt? 35. I had a dream when I was a schoolboy in matric, the year that he was born, that I was going to walk down with bishops. I've prayed that dream many, many times. God, I want to leave. I phoned my dad. I said, "Dad, I'm not going to be a businessman. I'm going to be a preacher." 35 years sometimes. But God's name will always be hallowed. God will always keep his word. God will always honor his promises. It might not be your timing, but he'll always honor it. All I'm asking you for, 20 minutes a day. You think, how? I don't know. But if we could push that to 30, or 40, or 50, or 1 hour a day in this auditorium, not the law, relationship. Not standing, not being clever, relationship. I believe that we have the power in this auditorium to turn our country upside down. Amen. We've got the power in this room. We've got the access in this room to turn our country upside down. Let's pray the prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Not your kingdom, your kingdom. Say your kingdom. It's hard, eh? I love to be king of my life. I love to be king of my life. I love to be in charge. And we just sit there and we say, "Okay, Lord, your kingdom come. I have a few responsibilities. I'm a father. I'm a preacher. I'm a son. I'm a brother. I'm an uncle. I've got money. I've got talents. I've got time. I've got relationships. I've got skills. I've got opportunities. We say, your kingdom come, Lord. Lord, I don't like that. Your kingdom come, Lord. As Clint said, salvation is the kingdom coming. Baptism is the kingdom coming. And every time you make a decision for God, the kingdom comes. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Let's say that. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. You see, God wants us to wait on him every day. Some of you got enough bread for 50 years, and so you don't need to ask God. Doesn't mean you can't be rich. God just wants us to ask him. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. 20 minutes a day. Let's turn the world upside down. God bless you.